Hi, I'm Chris. You're about to travel to a place of wonder, excitement, and discovery. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. When it comes to questions about being a Christian, there's one sure place the kids in Odyssey can go for an answer: Wits End. That's because they know they can find John Avery Whittaker there. And that's exactly what Jack and Lucy have done to find out about faith.
The fire blazed through the house, pushing little Billy to his bedroom window on the second floor. He looked down and saw his parents, who had been frantically trying to find him.
Daddy! Daddy! Help!
Billy!
I can't get down, Daddy! Help!
Jump, Billy! I'll catch you!
It's too high! I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid, Billy! Jump! Jump into my arms!
But Dad!
Jump, Billy! Jump!
Well, Mr. Whittaker?
Well, what, Jack?
That's your story about the meaning of faith?
Yep.
But I don't get it.
You don't? Well, how about you, Lucy?
Well, I could guess. Maybe you better just tell us.
Well, you see, the real meaning of faith is trust. Like in our story, little Billy may have always said he trusted his father, had faith in him, but now he's faced with a situation where his faith has to be made real. As long as Billy stays up in the burning room, he's showing that he doesn't have enough faith to jump in his father's arms. A real and active faith can't begin until his feet have left the windowsill.
Is that what they mean when they call it a leap of faith?
Well, I suppose so.
Wow.
Now, the real question is, would you have jumped?
Nah.
You wouldn't?
No way. My dad has skinny arms. He'd drop me like a hot potato.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But that's the other important point about faith. You have to be sure you're putting it in the right person. You want to trust someone who'll do what he says he'll do.
You're talking about God, right?
Right.
But we can't see him.
Well, that's why sometimes it takes more faith.
The kids at school say I'm crazy for believing in someone I can't see.
Yeah, at least in your story, Billy could see his dad down there. It's different in real life. I mean, it's hard to really have faith in somebody you can't see.
Funny you should mention that. Come on up to the Bible room and I'll tell you about someone who did.
I love this room.
Yeah, it's different every time I come in. Oh, look at that big boat. What's that for?
Ah, here we are. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Then in verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Sit down, Jack, Lucy. Let me tell you about this fellow named Noah.
I've heard about him. He built the ark.
Everybody's heard about Noah, Jack, but it's different when you hear about him in the Bible room. Tell us the story, Mr. Whittaker.
Well, Noah lived hundreds of years ago at a time when people had become especially wicked. The Bible says that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was on evil, continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart.
Things must have been pretty terrible to make God feel that bad.
Well, they surely were. So God decided to destroy man and the animals and even the creeping things.
I wish he'd get rid of the creeping things now.
Quiet, Lucy. He decided to get rid of everybody, Mr. Whittaker?
Obviously not everybody, or we wouldn't be here now. There was one man in particular.
Noah.
That's right. According to the Bible, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was a just man, perfect in his time. Noah walked with God.
He actually walked with God? Like Jack and I walked together to school?
Some think so, but others believe it's a figure of speech. He walked with God in the sense that he obeyed God and had a close relationship with him. So God chose Noah to be a part of a very special plan. Though the Bible doesn't say exactly what happened over those years, we can imagine how it must have affected his life.
Honey, I'm home.
Hello, dear.
How was your day?
Not bad. I worked on our vineyards in the northwest corner, planted a new field of crops, and talked to God. What's for dinner?
You talk to God, and you're asking me what's for dinner? Oh, sit down. We talk first, then dinner. Now, why did God want to talk to you? Is everything all right?
Well, not really. God said he was grieved in his heart about all this wickedness going on around here.
Oh, he should live in our neighborhood. He wants to see wickedness.
Well, he told me about his plan to destroy all of mankind and all the animals. Where's today's paper? I want to see who won the game.
Stop! Stop with the paper. God's going to destroy man and the animals?
That's what he said.
I wonder if I should cancel my hair appointment next Saturday. When is this supposed to happen?
Well, he didn't say exactly.
Then why did the Lord tell you these things? If he's going to destroy all of mankind and the animals, that would include us, right? I mean, we're not a family of radishes.
There's the catch. The Lord gave me some instructions about how we can be saved from the destruction. He wants me to build a very big boat, an ark.
An ark, huh? I guess this means he won't be destroying the earth with a sandstorm?
No, the Lord said, and I quote, "Behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you."
Oh, God is very merciful to save us. But why such a big boat? We're a small family. Couldn't we just float around on a raft?
Well, that's the other catch. God told me to bring two of every living thing onto the ark with us, male and female.
He wants you to bring animals and birds on this boat?
That's what he said. I'm not going to argue. And we also have to gather enough food for them and us to eat. Speaking of food,
So we have to feed them, too, as if I don't have enough housework to do.
Just imagine, darling. I get to be a shipbuilder, a sailor, and a zookeeper.
Hey, you're only 480 years old. What's a new career?
So tell me, do you have dinner ready, or do I stand here starving to death before I get to be 481?
Oh, you man.
And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Building an ark, collecting the animals. I hope God gave him some time. It took me all summer just to build a tree fort.
I had to do a butterfly collection in 3 weeks last year.
How long did it take Noah to build the ark, Mr. Whitaker?
Well, some people figure it took about 120 years.
Oh, that's not bad. 120 years?
Yep, and don't forget, that's 120 years doing work for someone Noah hasn't seen to save him from something that hasn't happened.
That's faith.
Exactly. You said you got picked on at school. Well, it's very likely Noah got picked on, too. See, in 2 Peter 2:5, we're told that Noah preached to his people. Imagine it.
Listen now, listen, folks. I'm telling you, there's going to be water everywhere. God's judgment is coming. You've got to turn away from your wickedness.
Yada, yada, yada. You've been saying this for 100 years, Noah.
100? I'll say it for 1,000. God said it's going to happen, and happen it will. I'm talking a lot of water here.
The only water I see is the sweat on your brow from building that stupid boat. Now get a grip on, will you? You become the town laughingstock.
Laugh, then. Laugh, all of you, laugh. But God isn't laughing, and neither am I.
Well, I wouldn't laugh either if I had all those animals running around my backyard.
I'd rather be an animal waiting for safety than a fool who waits for destruction.
Oh, well, aren't you the one with the wise words all of a sudden? Come on, gang, let's get away from this wacko.
And though the Bible doesn't give us the details, we can guess that Noah had other problems, too.
Hold it! Quiet, please! Well, thank you very much. Now, who are you people, and what are you doing at my back gate?
Are you Noah, son of Lamech, father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth?
Well, that's me.
Name's Forgide. City Health Inspector Forgide. We seem to have a problem here.
Well, you're telling me. Look at what you've done to my rose garden. I've had elephants for 15 years, and they show more respect. My wife's not going to be a happy woman.
Well, you've got a bigger problem than that, I'm afraid. I have a list of citations against you.
Citations? What citations?
Unauthorized construction, housing animals. Well, let's take this one at a time.
I'm taking them two at a time, actually.
Whatever. First, you've been constructing this, what do you call this thing?
An ark,
correct. Do you have a building permit for this thing?
Well, no, technically, it's not a building, it's a boat.
I see. You have a boat permit, then.
I need a boat permit?
You've been building this for over 100 years, and you didn't know you needed a permit? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Here, maybe this citation will remind you to get one.
Step aside, so I got something more important here.
Who are you?
Methuselah. I'm head of the Ark Builders Union number 407. You and your boys are not members. We don't look kindly on non-union people. We're doing our work. Now, what do you think work unions are for anyway?
Look, what do I know from unions and non-unions? We're a family operation here.
Yeah, that figures. Giving rank and privilege to your children. What about equal opportunity?
I've been giving everyone equal opportunity. Turn from your wicked ways and you can come up here and help.
Just what I've been suspecting. You're trying to impose your morality on those around you.
Who are you?
I'm Jared Rumbottom from the Pre-Antediluvian Civil Liberties Association. What you're doing is against the city's constitution. I'm going to represent anyone and everyone you've offended, sue you, and make you go broke in court costs.
This is getting awfully ridiculous.
Wait, just a minute. I'm from the Society for the Protection of Cruel Animals, and I want to see your authorization for keeping these poor, hapless creatures caged up in your backyard.
Caged up? Why, they have more room now than when I found them. Listen, folks, I want you to get out of my yard before I call the police.
I am the police. Do you realize your ark over there is double parked, huh?
Oh, brother.
Wait a minute, Mr. Whitaker. It didn't really happen that way, did it?
The Bible doesn't say exactly, but like I told you, we're just using our imaginations.
Don't worry about it, Lucy. Go on with the story, Mr. Whitaker.
Noah worked hard, building the ark, collecting the animals, and trying in vain to get the people to give up their wickedness. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." So Noah, his family, and all the various numbers of animals went aboard the finished ark, and God closed the door behind them. After 7 days, the waters of the flood were on the earth. All the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Waters increased and lifted the ark high above the earth, even above the highest hills. Just as he promised, God destroyed all living things on the ground. Only Noah, those who were with him on the ark, remained alive.
We'll continue with our adventure in Odyssey right after this. And now the conclusion of our adventure in Odyssey.
So you see, there's an example of a man who had faith in God, enough faith to do what God had told him to do, even though he couldn't see God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
Wow!
But that's not the end, Mr. Whitaker. You have to finish it.
Well, don't you know the end?
Yeah, but I want to hear it anyway.
Oh, well, all right. Where were we?
They were all on the ark, floating on the water. The only people in the whole world left alive.
That's right.
Japheth, bring me a raven.
Yes, Father.
We've been on this ark for nearly half a year. Good thing I don't get seasick.
Here's the raven, Father.
Thank you, son. Open that window, will you, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, thank you for not forgetting us, your servants. Just as you have caused the wind to pass over the earth, so the waters are finally draining away. We appreciate it. Amen. All right, my little raven. Fly, fly to dry ground, if you can find it.
The raven flew, going to and fro, but returning to the ark because he couldn't find a place to land.
Here's the dove you asked for, Father.
Thank you, son. Open that window, will you please?
Yes, sir.
Well, Lord, Raven couldn't find anything, but you're still draining the water from all the earth, and I believe the time is coming when we'll see land again. Thank you for taking care of us. Amen. All right, my little dove, fly. Fly to dry ground, if you can find it. I hope you do better than the raven.
But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to Noah. So Noah waited for 7 days and tried again.
Japheth!
I know, the dove. Are you sure you don't want to try the raven again?
No, we'll stick with the dove, thank you. Would you...
The window, I got it.
Lord, if there's any dry ground out there, please let the dove find it. Amen. All right, my little dove. Well, you know the routine. Maybe I should try the parakeet.
But this time, the dove came back in the evening with a freshly plucked olive leaf in her mouth. And Noah knew the waters were almost gone.
You don't have to be a genius to figure some of this stuff out.
In 7 days, he sent the dove out again. The dove did not return. And it came to pass that the surface of the ground became dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your family and all of the animals, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And they did.
Don't forget the rainbow.
I wouldn't forget that.
What rainbow?
Noah built an altar to the Lord and presented burnt offerings. The Lord was so pleased, he promised that he would never destroy the earth by water again. And God placed a rainbow in the sky and said, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the promise between me and the earth. And when I see the rainbow, I'll remember what I've promised. And it's a way for us to remember God's promise, too.
Wow, what a story!
Well, that's faith. It's the same way we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We trust him, believing that he has and will do all that he said he would. The Bible says, And though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as a result of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's 1 Peter 1:8-9.
Thanks for telling us, Mr. Whitaker. I'll remember that when they pick on me at school.
But what happened to Noah?
Noah? Well, he lived for another 350 years.
Wow! That's, 350? He was 950 years old when he died.
Yep.
Will I live to be 950 years old if I have the faith of Noah?
Jack, if you have faith like Noah, you'll live forever.
You know, Noah was only one of many Bible characters who showed great faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer lists Noah, along with many others, who were examples of faith. Sometimes we think of them as heroes, but the kind of faith they had isn't only for great people in the Bible. It's for us today, too. The Bible tells us over and over to have faith in God and believe he will do the things he promises. Through faith, we can be close to God, have our prayers answered, and have victory in all areas of our lives. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 5:4, Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. By Faith, Noah was written and directed by Paul McCusker. Our engineer is Bob Luttrell, and Chuck Bolte was our executive producer. And I'm Chris, inviting you to join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.